Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. So today we're talking about a topic that I've kind of avoided.
You've been talking about it for a while.
I know. So we're going to give you some comments on the Game Changers movie and vegan diets in general. Spoiler alert, I think the reason that I don't find this topic so compelling is just that I feel there's really so much overlap in a healthy vegan, and I'm using mm-hmm. that word for a reason. We'll get to plant-based in a minute. Like a healthy vegan diet and an omnivorous diet and a gluten-free diet. There's just lots of things like we all should be doing. Mm-hmm. I'm also kind of allergic to like the idea of labeling like I'm plant-based and I'm pescatarian.
There's so many.
Paleo, flexitarian, pagan, keto. I just find it like annoying mm-hmm. and limiting, you don't have to be so hardcore. You could do, and we'll get to this later, you could be vegan and decide one day that you want to eat like a little bit of fish. Mm-hmm. There's hopefully no police, although there's kind of internet police.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to unpack the Game Changers movie. Of course, we watched it. And to me, knowing the science, I can snuff out their agenda a little bit. But I think as with, other films, Forks Over Knives of this ilk, I think many lay people were sort of found it very convincing. I know like my niece was ready to be vegan and I have a couple of clients too. So after being asked like a million times, like, is meat as bad as cigarettes? I knew we had no. But it also like, as we'll get to, depends on the meat. I knew we had some debunking to do. And I'll try to be succinct. If you haven't, just a little background. If you haven't seen the movie, it's produced by James Cameron. If that name sounds familiar, it's probably you might know him from Titanic.
So crazy.
What? Yeah. Which kind of the movie is like, it looks very mm-hmm. pretty. It's a very well done movie. I will definitely give it that. He also has a very large vegan pea protein company, and his wife is founding like vegan, a whole slew of vegan schools. Mm-hmm. So some would say that, sort of makes him biased, but I think you're not going to do a movie like this if you don't have a little bit
interest.
Of agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't really find that to be a conflict of interest. The experts, though, that are chosen are definitely all ones who have like, sort of a plant-based platform. Mm-hmm. They definitely didn't say, and let's hear from, Mark Sisson or something like that. And, Dean Ornish was one of them. He's the high carb, low, no fat guy. I can't even believe like advice like that is still
out there.
Yeah. He's like the founding father of fat phobia. So its premise isn't just though that plant-based diets are good or have benefits, which we might agree with. It's that they're really the best and that they're ideal and specifically best for performance. So that to me is the biggest leap or misstep. I think people can be plant-based and thrive, but I don't think it's easy. I think you have to really know your stuff and really be on top of the nutrients that you're getting. And just in my opinion, obviously it's our podcast. I just don't feel that I don't feel it's ideal. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, Kayleen, thought about being vegan or plant-based?
Vegan, no. Plant-based, yes. Because I know there's a little bit of a difference between mm-hmm. the two, but not vegan.
And you dug into, we were like, sort of, when did like plant-based become like the new term?
Yeah.
So you were looking into it.
I looked into it and I saw that vegan means more of like the ethical side of stuff too. Because vegans
like more political.
Would not, like they don't use or wear leather or honey or beeswax, like even in products. Whereas plant-based is like whole foods, plant-based type of food.
So maybe a little dialing it back.
And maybe a little bit of meat. It said like not 100%
products. That to me is interesting because I feel like sometimes I feel plant-based is like totally a synonym for vegan. Mm-hmm. Maybe like you said, less hardcore. And sometimes there's a lot of people that consider themselves plant-based that also, do dabble in, egg or fish or
yeah,
a little bit of
exactly.
meat. So. I think it came out of the China study. I think that's the guy who originated it. I think it's marketing. I think it kind of makes it, I think people eye roll a little bit who aren't vegan mm-hmm. at vegan, but like kumbaya plant-based, we can all agree.
I think so.
I mean, and the truth is the number of like products it's a hugely successful marketing term. I think it was something like almost 300% in the past 5 years, the number of like plant-based products, according to consumer research.
Wow.
I mean, my issue with, I have so many issues. My issue is that like who's anti-plant?
I know. And
except like some keto people, mm-hmm. Like we advocate, you know, a high intake of plants. And I think the majority of, you know, credible health experts would. And the other thing I just feel that, you know, that rubs me the wrong way is that, you know, as someone who's a science person, I mean, I can definitely, as I always say, like we read everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's just a lot of these facts get perpetuated in like the influencer community.
Definitely.
And like, do you know how to read a study? I mean, some people do, but that's the whole thing is that a lot of people watching this movie, you're not going, they very nicely have like the references, the citations mm-hmm. flash on screen. I took some screenshots. And then you go back and you're like, like, that was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else is going to go back? I mean, I just don't, my niece isn't. Shout out to Grace. So the first point, let's just go through a few of the points and you'll see where we're coming mm-hmm. from on this. So the first point to me is like athlete versus the rest of us. The movie tracks a bunch of high profile and sometimes celebrity, if, I don't know if you'd call mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger an athlete. For example, one of them is Scott Jurek. He's a plant-based ultra runner, ultra marathoner. And like, I am like fascinated with him. You know, he's like the closest I've come to being plant-based. He in the film did something. He ran the Appalachian Trail. It was equivalent to like 2 marathons every day for a month mm-hmm. and broke some crazy record. But like, again, is this because like he would still be Scott Jurek without his diet?
You would think, right? Like he'd still be able to do that.
I mean, and they actually, I read, because there's so much if you look online and some of it really good debunking. There's actually the James Wilkes who narrates the movie and who comes from a martial arts background. And on the Joe Rogan podcast, they had him against I think he's an integrative doctor, Chris Kresser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen to that one. It'll really make you
Lauren think. Was into that one.
Yeah, to me, it actually, people thought he did well. Mm-hmm. There was like then people who commented on that. But again, it's a debate. It's 3 hours long if you really want to take a deep dive. Oh yeah, so with Scott Jurek, somebody did the equivalent of the same run and broke his record, who apparently mm-hmm. had like a, you know, candy bar diet. So I think some of this, you know, we were just discussing this. We always have a little powwow before we start. Like there's many people who've like won Olympics and who are omnivores. And also Michael Phelps is notorious again mm-hmm. for like having like, you know, like 15,000 calories a day and having a lousy diet.
Yeah.
So, and look at him. So I think a little of what we have to say when we, you know, see anything with just an extremely talented unicorn athlete is, you know, does this like really apply to me? Like who maybe will run one more marathon in our life?
Who maybe will start running? That's me.
Oh yeah. Kayleen just started running. So I think, again, it's convincing. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. We want to see what these people are doing, but like anecdotes aren't science.
Yeah.
You know, and even, you know, we have an anecdote, you know, anecdotes to share with you. I think they're interesting, but that doesn't mean that it's completely legit. So are lead athletes the best subjects? I don't know. I'm not going to, I don't spend 5 hours a day training. Yeah. So the whole plan would be different. And I think that's something to bear in mind too. As we do a plan for somebody, my plan for an athlete or a triathlete is going to look very different than somebody who wants to lose 10 pounds, which will look very different from somebody who's, you know, pregnant or nursing. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind because I think it might affect what will work best for you. So this is like, to me, one of the major points, which is, you know, is it vegan or is it decrapping?
I agree.
Yeah. And so what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of the studies that are cited here and cited everywhere by plant-based people is, you know, this is what happened when you took somebody from, you know, the meat-eating diet, which is always like fast food, you know, standard American mm-hmm. diet and like, you know, Popeyes. And then they go plant-based and look what happened. So even like is it the power of the plant-based diet or is that what they were eating mm-hmm. and drinking and maybe like smoking beforehand?
Yeah.
So they had football players in the movie. One of the guys actually said he was eating Popeyes before. And I don't know if it was the same athlete, but one guy said, yeah, I didn't even know like asparagus existed until 5 years ago. So, I mean, he was actually really cute about it. But again, are you going from like eating no vegetables to vegan well, then it's definitely a step up.
Yeah.
But would this person feel really good if they went from like their previous diet to a diet that was plant-based with a little bit of like grass-fed meat? Mm-hmm. Like maybe. Those aren't the studies though. So again, so it's not necessarily polar opposites. It's not necessarily, you know, horrible meat-eating carnivore's diet mm-hmm. to like perfect, you know, plant-based.
Yeah.
So, okay. Off the soapbox.
Well, that's how I feel about it too. Cause I saw that quote where it was an easy way to distinguish it is someone who's vegan could eat Oreos, but someone who's plant-based cannot eat Oreos.
Oh.
Because that's not a whole food made from a
plant.
No
Oreo plants.
But vegans, like Oreos right. are technically vegan.
Oh my
vegan.
God, you can have, there was something, I saw a graphic recently. You can have a terrible gluten-free diet, an awful mm-hmm. vegan diet. And that, and a lot of the people, when you kind of read about stories of people who got really sick, you know, especially sick plant-based, they were like, bad vegetarians
yeah.
or bad vegans, mm-hmm. you know, good and bad. You're not supposed to use those terms. Another, this hit me like closest to home. There's a big point they make in the movie. They're talking about, you know, kind of debunking that you can't get enough protein on vegan or vegetarian mm-hmm. diets. And I'm vegetarian, very different than vegan actually. So they said something, there's a graphic and they said like a peanut butter sandwich equivalent to like a few ounces of, has the same protein as like a few ounces of beef. A few ounces
or three
of beef,
eggs.
Or three eggs. That
yeah.
was it. Yeah, sorry. And so I listened to it and I just, you know, when I watched the movie, I was like, no, I don't think so. And then when you do the math, and a lot of people have, I think people had different figures on this, depending mm-hmm. on if they credit the bread for having some protein. So whole wheat bread would yeah. give a little protein, but it's basically getting the protein in a few ounces of beef or a few eggs, you're going to be putting like 5 tablespoons of peanut butter on a sandwich. Like try that at home.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which is really important, is that even if you get enough protein, so you're going to be getting like 600 calories with mm-hmm. that versus about 200 in a few ounces yeah. of meat. So again, we don't, you know, defer to calories, but it to get the protein, you have to consume more calories. The other thing is that there's a scale, it's known as that tests the quality. So it's not just how much protein, but how much are you absorbing?
Oh, yeah.
Like what is it doing for you? And so for example, something like beef and eggs, I think eggs are actually above beef, are over 1 on this scale of, mm-hmm. of bioavailability. There's lots of charts, you can look it up. And then there is like beans are somewhere in the middle. They're like beans and chickpeas are
like 0.5, 0.7.
Yeah, something with the chickpeas. You found the chickpeas were the highest.
I think chickpeas were the highest, yeah.
And like peanuts and wheat are like, you know, way mm-hmm. down at the bottom. So again, like it's not just eating a bunch of protein. It's like, what is it really doing for you and your body? And the other thing is that's mentioned a lot by a lot of plant-based people. And again, like we love you, but don't always agree with you, is just the RDA. So mm-hmm. the RDA, like we mentioned this in our lab test last week, the RDA for protein is preventing malnutrition. Like, is that what we're after?
Or optimal health.
Exactly.
<yeah.
laughs> So again, so you can get the, you can meet that figure, which is used very often.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for example, I think a lot of active people need close to like a gram of protein per pound.
Yeah.
You know, depending on, it depends on your activity level, but not easy to get. So again, that's one example in the movie that's like, wow, that sounds really, I'll just eat a peanut butter sandwich rather than
to get my protein.
That's
yeah.
delicious. But like, is it really going to do the same thing for you? No. Lots of guys are talking about, there's like, you know, the famous erection. There's a doctor who wrote a book called The Penis Book, who I have to give him credit because he was kind of, for a urologist, like, you know, very like tongue in cheek and like had a personality. But the argument with, I think they were football players again. They might have been a different sport. I don't remember. But they tested them with they tested blood flow to the penis or something like that with a plant-based meal, a vegan meal versus a meat meal. Again, I'll give you sort of what the science in this is that first of all, the leap is that, you know, definitely there's a correlation between higher cholesterol and like, you know, performance and mm-hmm. like erectile dysfunction, meaning like higher cholesterol, more issues sort of in that department. And the other thing, which is really interesting, is that leafy greens trigger like vasodilation, which means like, you know, sort of blood flow everywhere. Uh-huh. It's actually similar to how Viagra works. So definitely like pro plant in terms of, we're recording this right now, you know, sort of with Valentine's Day coming up. You know, everyone, you know, meat eating or not, should be eating more leafy green vegetables. This was not a study. This was not science. You know, and I think the things that help you in terms of sexual health are just eating better in general and exercising and like, you know, living a healthy mm-hmm. lifestyle. But I think, again, there's a lot in this movie. There's like this, that like real men eat salads, real men can be vegan. And like, how do you get like the guys on board better than like, okay, let's talk about, you know, sort of sex and oh, yeah. you know, sexual prowess. Like then they're all lining they up to in. Be vegan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's, those were, you know, sort of just give you examples of things that were brought up in the movie and people watching are like, you know, sort of signing up to be vegan, look a little closer and it's not necessarily that clear. In terms of like how we advise clients, I'm just going to raise some points to, you know, if you're sort of contemplating being vegan or currently vegan. I bet if you're currently vegan, you might not be listening, but I hope you are, because our advice really does apply to all. There's something that's called, like, there's a lot of the downside of vegan diets aren't necessarily obvious initially. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you see people, you know, sort of like, and especially if they're coming from a crappy diet, as we talked about, like, I heard it described as like the vegan honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like the first few months, their, you know, sort of energy is soaring. They feel great. And then you, like a couple of months later, and especially I see it, you know, at like I would say the 6 month mark, the 1 year mark, which makes sense if you look at like vitamin stores and how, mm-hmm. how they work, you start to hear some complaints. Again, if you're, you know, following, you know, a perfectly planned, really conscious of your amino acids and supplements vegan diet, you might not get this. But, you know, what we hear a lot about is hormonal issues, thyroid issues. And so we, you know, instead of just taking that as gospel, looked a little bit, we can put some of these citations in the show notes too. An Australian study. And again, yes, this was just an example of one study. I'm sure there's a study that shows exactly the opposite, but it just found that severe PMS and irregular periods higher in vegetarians and vegans. Mm-hmm. And also the same study showed vegetarians and vegans rank significantly higher in, you know, sort of some mood rankings mm-hmm. like depression and panic attacks. So if you're on a plant-based diet and this isn't an issue for you, great.
Yeah.
But it's something to consider if you're newly plant-based and suffering from really bad periods or depression. I know mm-hmm. some example, one of the things I read said that somebody who had no history of, and perhaps due to like minerals is my suspicion, or omega-3s, no history of any sort of depression was suddenly, not suddenly, after a year or two, felt depressed. Another anecdote, but just again, if this is something that resonates with you. Also, thyroid, we talked about last week in the lab episode. Plant heavy is not necessarily the best for Hashimoto's, mm-hmm. Something, you know, which is an autoimmune thyroid condition. Probably a little bit has to do again with the fact that, like, just like we said with protein, some plant proteins are not as bioavailable. Same thing with a lot of nutrients. So non-heme iron, which is plant iron, different than animal iron. And I think that some of these deficiencies are not getting enough or play into, can exacerbate Hashimoto symptoms. Most, I would say like gluten-free paleo tend to be how people with Hashimoto's tend to thrive. Mm-hmm. Dr. Anna Kabeka has done a lot with, you know, sort of diet and perimenopause and menopause. Doesn't, you know, feel that for that population, that vegan is the best. She has a book. And then there's even some cancer experts, like I like the work of somebody called Nasha Winters, is not necessarily a fan of mm-hmm. vegan diets. Again, we can't lump all plant-based diets together. I think that she was coming from a perspective of having had a bad yeah. vegan or vegetarian diet. Collagen is a big one for me. Sort of just a big thing for, you know, our population with healthy skin and metabolism and, you know, joint issues and pain. I just always want to clarify, because I know it's out there, like there's no such thing as like vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Like collagen comes from animals or fish. And it's, you know, what happens a little bit is that It's not only, and there, I know there's the argument out there that meat eaters actually need more collagen because of what digesting meat does, but it's not just about balancing out the meat. It's actually a source of an amino acid that's difficult to get enough of called glycine. So I think I've even had clients that are, you know, sort of plant-based except for collagen protein, but you can get a lot of collagen from even just from eating mm-hmm. fish. Okay. So I'm not an environmental expert. I'll preface this with that. But I think, again, like we're sitting here, I think factory farming and, you know, the conditions of cows and chickens in, you know, sort of industrial agriculture is gross.
Yeah.
So like if you're a vegan thinking that, like, I'm totally with you.
This is the one part of it I could definitely get behind, I think. I see people talking about this and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I'm sad.
Yeah. No, that's like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But I will also say that industrial farming for, you know, things like soy and wheat
mm-hmm.
is not, you know, sort of, it still isn't great for the environment. There's the argument that, you know, farm machinery that it takes up can affect like small animals too.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that this, like, you know, sort of industrial production isn't good, you know, on either perspective. Another issue I would say, again, trying to come, do you see, I just jumped over the environmental stuff, coming from a nutrition angle where I'm much more comfortable speaking, are sort of the oils that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're missing out a little bit on the animal sources of omega-3s, which are differently available than sort of plant sources of omega-3s. And you do see, you know, sort of an issue of that ratio of omega-3s to 6s not being necessarily mm-hmm. ideal. So it's definitely something to think about. I think, again, just being blunt, you don't want to turn into like a grainitarian.
which a lot of vegans do.
And I think that, like, you know, what you don't, it's not superior to, you know, sort of not be eating fish and eggs and to be eating, you know, suddenly like lots of gluten and, mm-hmm. you know, sort of grains. Grains are okay. We prefer sprouted grains. But it's, again, you want to kind of think of not just what you're taking out of your diet, but what you're replacing it with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of vegan crap. and, you know, you definitely don't want to, you know, it's just even something like people are like, I hate factory farms in terms of their treatment of animals, which mm-hmm. as we said, we agree with. And then they're eating like Beyond an Impossible burger.
Yeah.
I'm like, those don't come from trees. They're like,
those are processed
heavily
somewhere.
Heavily sprayed with Roundup and, you know, like a highly processed food. Like it's just, I don't, you know, if Burger King is selling the item that you're curious about,
that's a good point.
It's not a good sign. So I think the issue for every one of our diets is just quality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, be a high quality plant-based person or a high quality paleo person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really, that's what it kind of comes down to. I think we should all personally, and based on my work with people, I think we should all be watching/skipping gluten,
mm-hmm.
watching/skipping limiting sugar, watching/skipping refined oils like canola and soybean
mm-hmm.
and corn oil. Those oils are really, really refined, high in those, you know, omega-6s. Easily oxidized and, like, you know, pretty much nutrient void. Just in terms of the fats that we love, you know, good olive oil,
mm-hmm.
love our Brightland, coconut oil, and good quality MCT oil. I'm not plant based. Love ghee, avocado oil. I mean, anything I'm missing?
Yeah. I don't know.
What about
sunflower oil?
Yeah, I mean, you could do like better forms, like high oleic,
mm-hmm.
with the sunflower and the safflower. Most of them, and we've talked about this, it's a good question with salad places.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't necessarily like, you know, I think they'd probably like toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And artificial colorings, preservatives, again, things definitely to be avoided. One, I think of really interesting thing, because I'm really always curious about what makes people switch from being plant-based, you know, and adding things in.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good, you know, sort of Q&A question about that. Or vice versa. And really unbelievable. I don't know how much, you know, you everyone listening spends on social media, but like the like backlash against people, like high profile people, especially like the bloggers and mm-hmm. vloggers and influencers
who like talk about being vegan before.
Vegan and then, you know, for health issues or because they feel better. I mean, I saw comments like, okay if you're fine being a murderer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of emotion. It reminds me a lot of when I've listened to accounts of people going sober and saying that, you know, friends had a big, instead of like, that's great, you're giving up something that doesn't work for you. People were like, oh, okay. So again, like it's that sort of the emotions involved can be real, especially for high profile people. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, I like to support people if they're interested in trying something. I'm a big fan. Never tried to be vegan. Just I'm such a protein person. Yeah. But I think, again, if you were like my child or a client who really wanted to give it a go, make sure that you eat real food, mm-hmm. not vegan crap. I think everybody needs to supplement, but definitely, you know, before symptoms set in, supplement with B12. There's a lot of propaganda out there that you might not need the B12. Supplement with B12, supplement with D, what else? Mm-hmm. Supplement with iron. Yeah. We love Pure Encapsulations is just, you know, for the vitamins that we don't carry. Mm-hmm. We feel, and actually our vitamins are made in the facility that they are. And then, you know, just minerals too, things like zinc and magnesium. Very important, another one, algae-based omega-3 supplement can actually stand in pretty well for a fish-based one. And we're always here. We do often like a vitamin checkup. So if you're switching your diet in some ways, and there's a million ways to do it, and you're worried about having the right supplementation, you know, we could definitely help you on that end. And I think, like, overall, you know, just listen to your body. I think people get so tied into this is how I'm supposed to eat. I'm a vegan, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they, you know, sort of feel like, you know, that there is like, you know, somebody looking over them. And I think that, again, what I said, if you are having terrible PMS, if you've had, you know, sort of mood issues that you haven't had in the past, if you even feel like your like skin is dull, like just kind of don't ignore those things just so that you can wear the label, as mm-hmm. Kayleen said. And it's really personal. So I think, again, you know, we're here half the time, you know, snacking on cheese and jerky, but that's, you know, not necessarily everybody's choice.
Yeah.
And the key is just to check all your boxes and get your nutrients and feel good no matter what plan you choose. Watch the movie if you want. Watch it, you know, with us in the back of your head. And now we have like a little something a little bit different with our Q&A.
Yeah, Lauren actually had a Q&A for someone else, a friend who was vegan.
So I'm going to pull this up. So I got a lot of great questions from all of you, and we will definitely put them, answer some of those questions about beans and being vegan while traveling and mm-hmm. things of that nature. So I had asked, I have a friend and her name is Danielle. She's DDB Fitness. She said, I got for permission to use her name. And she was, you know, she's been a spin instructor. She's a fitness professional, hours and hours of workouts a day. She was previously vegan and I had some questions for her. So first, I'm gonna read a little bit just because I think it's better to get her exact words.
Yeah.
But I told her we were recording a podcast on the Game Changers movie, and I was curious why she stopped being vegan, and or if she has two adorable little kids, if it was pregnancy that had made her add things mm-hmm. back. And so she said, I'm just gonna read. She said, "Ah, yes. So I was vegan for my first pregnancy and for 13 years prior, and I felt great." And then when I'm going to leave out her son's name, but when her son started eating eggs around the 6 month mark, she was suddenly interested in them. And she said, and I remember seeing a pic of an avocado toast with an egg on it and being like, in caps, I need this. So I thought about it for a while and then just tried eggs and immediately was into them. I added some cheese too, mostly feta. And between eggs and feta felt so great in addition to being mostly plant-based otherwise. So that's exactly what we were talking mm-hmm. about. Not being so rigid. And she said, I think nursing made me need/want something else, more
yeah.
protein, which again, with a life change, if you feel that way, much better to experiment than it is to feel
try
poorly.
To stick to your label. Yeah.
Yeah. Stick to your label. And then she said, then during her second pregnancy, the same thing happened with fish. I started adding salmon and other fish during my pregnancy and haven't looked back. love my eggs, fish, and reasonable amount of cheese. And she said that, you know, nursing and pregnancy takes a lot of blood out of you. And so then I went back to her and I said, super helpful. I asked her if I could use her name. And then I did, I asked, any guilt or did she feel like any backlash from like either clients or friends who were vegan? Because I was looking, I'm kind of fascinated by that. And she said, I'm a huge proponent of doing what your body needs versus subscribing to one way of doing things just because it's what you've done in the past. This is why we're giving you this info. I just thought it encapsulated everything you were saying. No guilt at all. No backlash from vegan friends or students. I was slightly hesitant at first to tell people who are vegan. But when I told them, I just said that my body needed a change and nobody said boo. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, if we brought up that people can say things and have feeling, but maybe, especially if you have normal people in your life.
Yeah, true. I think that's such a good, healthy way.
Thank you, Danielle. Everyone should follow her. And so, Kayleen, what do you think? This was so bad. We really didn't want to record
this. Lauren was really avoiding it. Yeah, but I think it was good. Very helpful.
Yeah, and we're, again, coming at this from, you know, two people who aren't plant-based.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think I will point out the bias in the movie. I'll point out my bias too. Even, you know, sort of thinking about all the, you know, micronutrients and things. We have a lot of vegetarian clients. Mm-hmm. We don't have a vegan platform. So we usually refer out for clients who are
interested.
Exactly. So that's that.
That's it. We did it. Did it, Lauren.
Okay. Well, we'll go on to something, you know, petty and easy
next week. Yes. We'll see you then.
Thank you so much. Have a good week.